Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this Lenten season, we are dealing with the I Am sayings of Jesus. In the first week, we heard that he is the I Am. In other words, he's everything. He's the very state of being of the entire creation. In our next week, we saw that he is the resurrection and the life. And that life is the life that has no more death. And it's done with a double negative to just assure us no death, never, ever, ever, ever again once we're with our Lord. Last week, we heard that Jesus is the light. The light who overcomes the darkness of this world and leads us on the path to heaven. Tonight, we hear Jesus saying in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And when he does this, he's speaking the language of the people of Israel, because they had a rich history of shepherds. Consider where we've been in our Sunday sermon series. Abel, what did he do? He brought the firstborn of his flock, not herd, flock. What's that mean? Abel was the first shepherd. And of course, then there's King David, the shepherd boy who Samuel anointed after David's dad, Jesse, brought all his older brothers in to be anointed as king. But none of them were the right one. It wasn't until young David, who was out taking care of the sheep, was brought in and he was anointed. And then we read about David, the shepherd, later on, who took some food to his brothers who were in the army. And he heard the boasting of Goliath, that great Philistine warrior, the giant. He heard Goliath proclaiming that he wanted to fight anyone from Israel. And David's response, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Of course, his brothers were upset with him. You young whippersnapper, why don't you just keep your mouth shut, kind of thing. But King Saul heard about it, that there's someone in the camp talking about Goliath this way. So King Saul called David. David went to him and told King Saul flat out, I quote, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Of course, King Saul comes back with, but you're young, you're a youth, you can't even wear armor yet. And this Philistine, Goliath, he's been a man of war since his youth. And David's response, yeah, I'm ready. I'm a shepherd. You know, if a lion comes and snatches a lamb, or if a bear comes and snatches a lamb from my flock, well, I go after him. I go after him, I strike him, I kill him, and I deliver that lamb. And then listen to what David says. And here's the critical thing. He's just said he goes after the lambs. He goes after the lost sheep. Then he says, the Lord. And yes, he uses Yahweh there. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. And I have this funny feeling, you know the rest of the story. David went out armed with some smooth stones taken from the Kidron Brook, and he let loose before Goliath ever got close to him and killed the giant. Then, of course, when it comes to shepherds, That's what a whole bunch of the prophets were. In fact, my favorite was also Pastor Berner's favorite, Amos, the fig-picking shepherd from Tekoa. And so when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, this would resonate with the people of Israel. He's talking their language. They have a history of shepherds, and yet it begs the question, what makes a shepherd a good shepherd? Well, first and foremost, that he lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus makes that point, and then he does a contrast between the shepherd who owns those sheep and the hired hand who does not. And what is it? Well, the hired hand is not good. The hired hand sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep and he flees because he knows wolves travel in packs and he himself might become food. But ultimately, why will he flee and leave the sheep? Jesus says very simply and bluntly, he cares nothing for the sheep. He's there for a paycheck. End of story. And I think we probably can sympathize with that to a certain extent or understand it. I know I myself have a couple times experienced being in a store where someone just walks out without paying anything. And I look at the cashier and you're just going to let that happen? And it's like, yeah, I just, you know, not supposed to do anything. I mean, what do I do if they turn around and they want to fight or they pull a gun, you know? They have no skin in the game, but the shepherd does. And that's why he's a good shepherd. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he makes several points. First is that he's good because he lays down his life for the sheep. But then the second point he makes is, I know my own and my own know me. Sheep really do know their shepherd. And shepherds really do know their sheep. If you ever watch a shepherd dealing with his sheep, the shepherd will start to move, the sheep follow. It's totally different than, you know, growing up in Bishop, the mule capital of the world. Almost everybody wears cowboy hats. They're all cowboys. Not many shepherds there. But what do cowboys do? They drive. They push the cattle. Not a shepherd. Shepherd leads and the sheep follow. Then we have the I lay down my life for the sheep. And like David, Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. He goes to war to save them. But unlike King David, who slew Goliath, no. Unlike David, our Lord, the Good Shepherd, he lets the wolf win. Not by getting his sheep. Oh no. The shepherd lets the wolf, Satan, kill him. Which leads to number three. I have other sheep. This is Jesus bringing you and me in, bringing the Gentiles in. He continues and says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, which means we will follow him. When he says, come along, my sheep, we go. So when he says, come and worship, we go, we follow him. Come to communion with me, we go, we follow him. Open my book, we go, we join him in Bible study. And why is there all of this that Jesus is talking about? Well, it just flows naturally to the next point. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Remember Pastor Berner talking with me one time, and he ran me through a series of questions in some dialogue. It truly was some good rabbinical teaching. And he started with the question of, if Jesus is the good shepherd, and if the church, the body of the Christ, are his sheep, then who or what is the pastor? And I know some of you have heard me say this many times before, but the answer? The dog. A good shepherd has a dog or more than one dog. And those dogs also know the shepherd's voice. In fact, they know the shepherd's whistle. And the shepherd will have the sheep, and they're out grazing, and one starts going off, and the shepherd will whistle. He'll a little whistle. And the dogs will look, and he'll point, and the dogs go after the sheep or after that lamb. I kind of saw that last week. Really brought a smile to my face. I was up at Valley Springs, and good folks from Shepherd of the Hills were joining us. And there was Pastor Marty after the service, everybody sitting down, having soup, some outstanding soup, having some really good cake. And Pastor Marty was just, he was like a sheepdog, running around and taking care of his sheep, getting them food, picking their stuff up, cleaning stuff off. He was busy, 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 busy. It was like the Lord was saying, now go and do this, and this, and this, and this. Meanwhile, the sheep were right there at the table, and all was well. So let's make this very clear. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he really hammers it home at the very end. When he says, I lay down my life of my own accord. Again, he lets the wolf win. He lays down his life. Why? Well, he tells us himself, so that I might take it up again. Which leads us to the three R's. And the first, of course, is resurrection. Jesus rose. He overcame sin, death, and the devil. So we never have to deal with that battle, that wolf. But second, when he rose, he redeemed us. He bought us back. And he did that to restore us. Restore us to a right relationship with God the Father Almighty. A relationship like Adam and Eve had in the garden, where they could walk with him. They could talk with him. And so we too now can talk with God at any time. And we know he is with us always until the very end of the age. And why else does he take his life back up again? Well, he tells us, no one takes it from me. Once he wins, it's over. And it is. It's over for Satan. No one takes it from me. If you would just join me in a little trip down memory lane. During the Lent season, we talk about Jesus going to the cross. He goes with Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane, prays there fervently, drops of blood, hematidrosis, form on his forehead. But when the Roman soldiers come, what does Jesus do? He steps between the soldiers and his sheep. And he says, "Who do you seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he." Do you remember what happens? They all get knocked down. Why? Jesus was making it very clear to them and to us. No one takes my life from me. I give it of my own accord because I am the good shepherd. And so, bringing it all together, we look to Matthew 18. Jesus talks about the good shepherd. He says the good shepherd leaves the 99 sheep, goes after the one who's lost. And if you take a look at the Gospels, that's what you see Jesus doing over and over and over. Whether he goes after Zacchaeus or the woman who touched his robe or the man who couldn't get into the pool of Siloam quick enough. He goes after them one by one. And then again, we see there on the night that he was betrayed, he protected all 12 of his disciples, keeps them safe. And it's this same shepherd who goes over after us individually, each one of us, the billions in his flock. The road to the cross is the good shepherd going after us. And then it's him leading us to the green pastures. The pastures that he describes as, well, I'm going to leave you hanging there so that you can come back next week and hear how he says it. In our Savior's name, amen.